జ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్యాంజనాశలాకాయ చక్షురుమిళితన్యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణ సింధు,
హే కృష్ణ కరుణ సింధు,
దీనబంధు జగత్పతే, గోపేశ గోపికా కంత,
గోపేశ గోపికా కంత,
రాధాకంత నమస్తే,
రాధాకంత నమస్తే,
తప్త కాంచన
గౌరాంగే,
రాధే బృందావనేశ్వరి,
రాధే బృందావనేశ్వరి,
వృషభానుసుతే దేవి,
వృషభానుసుతే దేవి,
ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే,
ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే,
పతితానాం
భవానేభ్యో
వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య
ప్రభు
నిత్యానంద,
శ్రీ
అద్వైత
గదాధర,
శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద, హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ
రామ రామ
రామ రామ హరే హరే,
రామ రామ హరే హరే.
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ,
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 ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
So I'll be reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 14, which is on the three modes of material nature. I'd like to read sloka number 4. I think you all know this verse, you're quite familiar with these verses. Sarva yoneshu kunteya,
sarva yoneshu kunteya,
murtaya sambhavantiya,
murtaya sambhavantiya,
asam brahma mahadyoni,
asam brahma mahadyoni,
aham bija pradapita,
aham bija pradapita,
sarva yoneshu kunteya,
sarva yoneshu kunteya,
మూర్తయ సంభవంతియా,
మూర్తయ సంభవంతియా,
ఏషం బ్రహ్మ మహద్యోనిర్,
ఏషం బ్రహ్మ మహద్యోనిర్,
అహం బీజ ప్రజాపిత,
అహం బీజ ప్రజాపిత,
సర్వయోనిషు కొంతేయా,
సర్వయోనిషు కొంతేయా,
మూర్తయ సంభవంతియా,
మూర్తయ సంభవంతియా,
ఆసం బ్రహ్మ మహద్యోని, అహం బీజ ప్రజాపిత,
అహం బీజ ప్రజాపిత.
Some people like to chant
సర్వయోనిషు కౌంతేయ,
సర్వయోనిషు కౌంతేయ,
మూర్తయః సంభవంతియః,
మూర్తయః సంభవంతియః,
ఆసాం బ్రహ్మ మహద్యోని,
ఆసాం బ్రహ్మ మహద్యోని,
అహం బీజ ప్రదాపిత,
అహం బీజ ప్రదాపిత,
సర్వయోనిషు కౌంతేయ,
సర్వయోనిషు కౌంతేయ,
సంభవంతియా,
సంభవంతియా,
సాం బ్రహ్మ మహద్యోని,
సాం బ్రహ్మ మహద్యోని,
అహం bija pradapita
aham bija pradapita
sarva yoni sukanteya
sarva yoni sukanteya
yaha sambhavantiya
murtaya sambhavantiya tasam brahma mahayoni aham bija pradapita sarva yoni sukanteya murtaya sambhavantiya tasam brahma mahayoni aham bija pradapita sarva yoni sukanteya murtaya sambhavantiya tasam brahma mahayoni aham bija pradapita
sarva yoni sukanteya
sarva yoni sukanteya
murtaya sambhavantiya
murtaya sambhavantiya
tasam brahma mahayoni
tasam brahma mahayoni
aham bija pradapita
aham bija pradapita sarva yoni sukanteya murtaya sambhavantiya
tasam brahma mahayoni
aham bija pradapita
sarva yonishu in all species of life Kunteya,
Kunteya,
O son of Kunti,
O son of Kunti,
Murtaya,
Murtaya,
forms, Sambhavanti,
Sambhavanti,
they appear,
they appear,
Ya,
Ya,
which,
Tasam,
Tasam, of all of them,
of all of them,
Brahma,
Brahma,
the
supreme,
Mahatyoni,
Mahatyoni,
source of birth in the material substance,
source of birth in the material substance.
Aham,
aham,
I,
Bijaprada,
Bijaprada,
the seed giving,
Pita,
Pita,
father,
father.
Translation. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed giving father. You can repeat. It should be understood.
It should be understood
that all species of life,
that all species of life,
O son of Kunti,
O son of Kunti,
are made possible,
are made possible
by birth in this material nature,
by birth in this material nature,
and that I am the seed-giving father.
And I am the seed-giving father.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this verse, it is clearly explained that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the original Father of all living entities. The living entities are combinations of the material nature and the spiritual nature. Such living entities are seen not only on this planet, but on every planet, even on the highest, where Brahma is situated. Everywhere there are living entities. Within the earth there are living entities. Even within water and within fire. All these appearances are due to the mother, material nature, and Krishna's seed-giving process. The purport is that the material world is impregnated with living entities who come out in various forms at the time of creation, according to their past deeds. We're reading from the chapter on the three modes of material nature. In the previous chapter, Lord Krishna had been discussing about the nature of Purush and Prakriti, and how the living entity, due to his association with the different modes of material nature, meets with good and evil among the various species. Here in this verse, Lord Krishna is describing about the nature of the living entities in this material world. He says that all species of life are due to him. I always remember, as a devotee, going out on street Sankirtan to distribute literature, as we did for many years, people would often ask, "Where are you from?" You know, because maybe the strange dress, or the hairstyle, or the accent, I don't know what, but they always, people always, usually the first question you get, "Where are you from?" So we would usually say, "From Krishna." Right? So I was, you know, the more I'm a devotee, the more I'm realizing that actually this is the truth. That is, we're all from Krishna. And this is explained clearly in this verse. Ultimately, Krishna is the Father, and we come from the Father. However, not everyone is broad-minded like that. There's a lot of atheism in the world. Even in the form of religion, you get atheism. Buddhism is an atheistic religion. Similarly, also, Advaita is a type of atheism, because they say everyone can become God. The Buddhists say there's nothing ultimate. Everything is void. There's also the atheist Kapila, the Sankhya philosophy. There's the Kapila, Devahuti Kapila, Devahuti Putra Kapila, who taught Bhakti Yoga, devotional service, as described in our Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto. But there was a probably more well-known atheistic Kapila who taught his Sankhya philosophy, that everything has come from the void, and that the different living entities and life symptoms are simply due to the reactions of the modes of material nature. We meet a lot of atheists, and sometimes these atheists are a great challenge to our faith. It is important for all of us to have faith. Faith is described by Srila Prabhupada that in the neophyte stage, our faith can easily be destroyed. We have a little, somehow we have some attraction to the Lord, or a little attraction to religious principles, but we're not very strongly convinced. We don't have we have neither strong faith nor any gyan to support it. And when we meet people who are of a different opinion, they can cause us to lose our faith and our interest in religious principles. You get a lot of atheistic challenges. So a common one, people, you know, some kind of smart people, they think they're smart, they have this question, probably you've heard it before, they will say, "If there's God, can he make a stone so heavy that even he can't lift it?" Huh? Have you heard this one before? Oh, it's very common. Especially in places like China. Anywhere where there's a lot of atheism, rampant materialism, people will say like that. You say God made everything, right? So can you tell me, can God make a stone so heavy that even he can't lift it? So how are we going to answer this question? One way to answer it is you can tell this person, "My dear Prabhu, you should go back to primary school because you're not yet ready to hear about God." Because that is a challenging question. And Srila Prabhupada's purports, he condemns such challenging questions, foolish inquiries, challenging questions. It is a question which it's not easy to give a reasonable answer to. Only a person with no faith and no willingness to hear will ask such a question. So he's not qualified to hear. Someone puts a question of that nature, they're not qualified to hear. So it's not, there's no point in trying to enlighten them further. However, one of my godbrother, His Holiness Umapati Swami, he had a nice reply to this, because he does spend a lot of time talking to Chinese. So he has a reply. He said that, "You are that stone." He said, "Because you've asked such a stupid question that God can't even lift you." So that's one way of dealing with these types of things. The Sankhya philosophers, they also look at the material world and they find it difficult to see the presence of God there. We as devotees, of course, we want to see God everywhere in everything, and certainly in the Bhagavad Gita, when we study Bhagavad Gita, it's made very easy for us how we can see God everywhere. In the 6th chapter, Lord Krishna explains about the enlightened devotee. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mayi pasyati samjam. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. And Arjuna also wanted to be able to see Krishna in everything, and he wanted to see Krishna in everything also. Krishna therefore showed him his Vishwarup, his form of all the different elements of this material world, which is a subtle form, temporary form, something like deity. And then after he saw the universal form, then Arjuna also wanted to hear also about Krishna. Krishna spoke his Vibhuti Yoga. He spoke about his opulences, and then after Arjuna heard about them, then Arjuna wanted to see it. So then Krishna showed his universal form. So for the devotee, we can see, it's not so difficult for us to see the presence of Krishna. At least we can see his energy in so many different ways. Prabhupada would say, who has not seen the light of the sun? Who has not seen the light of the moon or tasted water? We can see Krishna in every phenomena in this material world. For a devotee, it's not a great challenge to see God. But there are people who have no devotion, they have no faith. And they will say, they will argue, for example, that the rivers are flowing. You say there must be the soul in everywhere, there must be some presence of God in everything. But the river, that's simply water, that's matter. But we see living symptoms there in the river, that the river is flowing. And the tree, that's another lump of matter. The tree is simply some wood. It is also producing fruits. How can you say that there must be God there? It's simply matter, simply material energy, but there are living symptoms. Baladeva Vijayabhusan, in his commentary on Vedanta Sutra, he really goes into some of these arguments, and he explains that yes, the rivers may flow, but there's a force making them flow. They don't just simply flow on their own. Here's water also, you don't see it flowing anywhere. Huh? It's the same water as in the river, but it's not flowing. Why is the river flowing? Because there's some force causing it to flow. Similarly, the trees are producing fruits because there's some force, there's some living entity there. The dead tree does not produce fruit. It's the living tree which produces fruits. Trying to understand how this material nature is under the control of Krishna, it is very important for us. Of course, earlier in the 9th chapter, Lord Krishna had already said, mayadhyakshina prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena bhavteya jagat viparivartate. That this material nature is moving under my direction, O son of Kunti. It's not under the scientist's control. The atheists, the big powerful materialists, they all want to control the material world. There's a famous example of this actually. In China, I have to tell you about China because I spent so many years there. There was one great empress hundreds of years ago. So she's very powerful. She conquered so many places. And she became so infatuated with her own power. She wanted to prove her supreme power over the material nature, that she would have different flowers brought and she would order them to bloom. The flowers, you know, out of season, she would order them to bloom. You know, there's seasons for different types of flowers, right? According to this, some flowers bloom in spring and some are more in autumn. There is winter, different types of flowers. But she would order them out of season. On her order, I order you, bloom, open, you know. So there was one, and the flowers were so, it said that many flowers obeyed her. She was so powerful that she could command even flowers to bloom. However, there was one particular flower, it's like a gladiola, or in Chinese the name Mudan, and it would not open. So she became very angry that this flower one does not listen to my order. She said, get all these flowers out of my kingdom. They cannot stay in my kingdom. So she was thinking she's very powerful, but you know, her power couldn't go to the flower. There was this one flower, it wouldn't listen to her. Her powers were limited. In England also there's an example, there was a great king, King Canute. His citizens thought that he must be the supreme controller of the world. They loved him so much and they were so impressed by his power, they thought he must be all-powerful in the world. But he knew himself, he was a wise man, he knew he was not all-powerful. And in order to show the citizens that he was not all-powerful, he ordered them, put my throne in front of the sea, put my throne on the beach, and I will try to order the sea to stop coming in. When the tide comes in, I will tell it, go back. So his throne was placed there, and he was sitting on his seat, and he was ordering, go back, go back. But the water kept coming. So after some time, you know, he also gave up. And, well, he was happy because his citizens at least could understand that he was not the supreme controller. There is some higher force. But still, there are different phenomena in this material world which sometimes puzzle us, make it difficult for us to understand that there is a supreme being. And the Sankhya philosophers, they exploit this. They go on about this. One, another example they give, they say, just like bed bugs, that they appear from nowhere. You get these creatures, the bug, sometimes there's some perspiration, some dirty mess somewhere in the cloth, and some bugs appear. And they say they simply come from matter. They're creations of the material elements. But in order for these bugs to appear, there has to be, first of all, the conditions in order to make it suitable for a living entity, a spiritual spark, a soul, to enter into these conditions. Without the perfect conditions, the soul cannot enter and life cannot begin. Similarly, of course, another famous example is the scorpions which appear from rice. Sometimes people think that the scorpions are born from rice, but it's not that they simply come from the rice, but the scorpion lays eggs in the rice. Because the scorpion lays eggs in the rice, the eggs hatch and the scorpions come out. In this way, material nature is not independent. Material nature is dependent on the control of the Supreme Lord. But the atheists, the materialist scientists, such people, they cannot understand. They cannot accept. They will say, no, look, don't you see the cow is chewing grass? She's chewing grass and giving milk. She's transforming the material elements. They're thinking this is simply due to some transformation of the material energy. They do not recognize that there is some higher management behind this process. Behind everything, there is some superior management. Just like when we look at the city of Dubai, if we say, how did this place come about? Oh, well, one night there was an explosion and we woke up in the morning and there were these buildings everywhere in rows. It all just appeared. Came out of the black hole in the middle of the desert. Is it reasonable that we see so many signs of intelligence and organization, management, and we say, oh, it's just by chance. Is that reasonable? Of course, it's most unreasonable. And similarly, the more we look at this material world, we see there is some perfect management, some supreme intelligence controlling everything in this world. The cow may be able to eat grass and give milk, but we don't see the bull. You can give the bull grass also. Are you going to get milk from the bull? Of course, one day Krishna did try to milk a bull, but that was because he was so overwhelmed in his love for Radharani. Being captivated by the beauty of Radharani, he tried to milk a bull. But that's not the usual situation. In this material world, there is some superior arrangement, some higher management. And devotees, we can see this. But those people who have no faith, whose vision is covered, for them they can never understand. Krishna says, Naham prakasha sarvatma yogamaya samavrita mudoyam na bijanati lokomam ajam avyaya. Krishna says, I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my eternal creative potency. Yoga Maya, Maya. This is the work of Maya, to bewilder such foolish, unintelligent people. They have no right to understand the Lord because they have no faith, they have no devotion. So therefore, they are covered by the Maya, the force of illusion. Mother Durga laments that she is struggling, keeping all these living entities and entrapped within the material world. And she, on one occasion, she prayed that, when will I ever get the chance, the opportunity to see your eternal pastimes in the spiritual world? She said, I know it is the desire of the Lord that the living entities should go back to Him. But my job is to stay here and keep the living entities all entangled in the material world. So when will I ever get the opportunity to see the Lord's pastimes in the spiritual world? At that time, she was enlightened by the Lord, who appeared to her and told her that you're always seeing my pastimes because in your form as Yoga Maya, you are assisting there in the spiritual world. In your form also, as Krodhamaya, you are protecting the Holy Dham along with Lord Shiva. So in this way, you are giving me so much service. We as devotees also, we have to understand our role. We have to think or meditate on our service to the Lord, how we can properly satisfy Him. Srila Prabhupada writes how the living entities at the time of creation come out in different forms according to their various deeds. That is why there is so much variety in the material world. Materialists will claim that there's so many different forms of life just by chance. Just from the rain, so many different types of trees, of different flowers and different fruits have been produced. But it's not simply by chance, but it's due to the superior management. Because the higher proper management is there, arranging for all of these different forms of life. Different flowers, different fragrances, different colors, different fruits, different tastes. It is all an indication of some superior management. For a devotee, it is easy for us to understand these things. Because we have chanted the holy name, because we have rendered service to the Lord, so the Lord reveals himself to such people. But for those who have never served, for those who are inimical to the Lord, then it's very hard for them to understand. Very difficult. What is very easy for the devotee is very difficult for the materialistic people. But materialistic people can also be made, they can also get mercy. The mercy has to come from the devotee. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya appeared 500 years ago, instructing everyone that we have to, first of all, make ourselves perfect, and then we have to make others perfect. Bharat abhumiti haila manushya janmaja. Janma sartaka karikara para upakar. First you become perfect, then try to make others perfect. Oh, you may say, oh, okay, this is me off the hook. I'm not perfect yet, right? So I shouldn't do anything. Actually, anyone who has chanted the holy name one time, they're already perfect. They're already delivered. Krishna's made a note. Anyone who has taken the Lord's prasadam even one time, anyone who has bowed down even once, maybe only once we've called out, taken shelter of the Lord is noted. That is perfection. Of course, we have to go on, but still we're on the right path. So Lord Chaitanya wants everyone to take up this Krishna consciousness movement and deliver the message of Krishna consciousness to others. Wherever we go, whoever we meet, we have to instruct them about Krishna. This message of Krishna consciousness is a confidential message. But the more it's confidential because it can only be understood by devotees. But actually, everyone can be a devotee. Love of Krishna is there in everyone. But it simply has to be awakened. So as devotees, we have to always be thinking, scheming, how to awaken devotion to Krishna for others. And the more we are thinking how to distribute Krishna consciousness to others, the more we get Krishna consciousness ourselves. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj has said that when the Panchatattva appeared, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, when they appeared in this world, they plundered the storehouse of love of God. Because 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna came in this world. Lord Krishna brought with him a storehouse of love of God. But he kept that storehouse locked. The supply was not available for everyone. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates, they broke open that storehouse. They plundered it and they distributed to everyone without consideration who was qualified and who was not. They simply gave Krishna to everyone. The young men, the old men, the lame, the blind, the women, the children, the dogs, the animals, the tigers, everyone, every living entity, This is Krishna consciousness. It is the highest welfare work for the benefit of all living entities. We are all brothers. Our movement is not simply humanitarian. It's meant for the benefit of all living entities. Of course, we are especially concerned with the human form of life because this is a special opportunity, this is a special stage in spiritual evolution of consciousness. In the human form of life, we can understand the difference between matter and spirit. This is how Vedanta Sutra begins. Atato Brahma Jignasa. Atato meaning now. Why now? Now? Now we're a human being. The animals don't read the books. If we don't read the books, we're no better than the animal. You all have to read. Prabhupada said, I am writing these books for my devotees. So it is our duty also to take some time, try to study these books. Human form of life is a responsibility. We're not meant to live like the animals. One of Srila Prabhupada's favorite verses in Srimad Bhagavatam was an instruction given by Lord Rishabhdev to his 100 sons. Rishabhdev is a great incarnation of Vishnu, and as a great king, before he retired from this world, he first of all gave instructions to his sons. Prabhupada lectured many times on this verse. Nayam deho deha pacham niraloke kushtam kamar nahate nidhujjamhi tejo divyam putrakayena sattvam shudayat yashmat brahmashokyam twanantam. Rishabhdev is saying to his 100 sons that, my dear children, do not waste your human life just simply trying to enjoy the pleasure of this body, the pleasure of the tongue, filling the belly, satisfying the genitals. Such pleasures are available even for the pigs which eat stool. If our goal of life is to satisfy the tongue or the genital, that is the philosophy of the dogs and the pigs. We are no better than the animals. Human form of life is not meant for that. What is it meant for? Tejo divyam. We should do tapasya. Tejo divyam putrit kayena sattvam. That we have to do some austerity. Tapasya. What is that? In this age, how we can do tapasya? We cannot go to the forest. We cannot simply become... We have responsibilities in this world. But austerity is made very easy in the Kali Yuga. Austerity is following four religious principles: cleanliness, mercy, austerity, and truthfulness, and chanting the holy name of the Lord. If we strictly follow these four principles and chant the holy name, that is austerity in Kali Yuga. And by doing this austerity, one is sure to become purified. Once we are purified, we will experience real pleasure. Pleasure on the spiritual platform. Not some flickering, temporary pleasure of this body, but real pleasure, eternal pleasure, the pleasure of the soul. So this has to be awakened. This pleasure can be awakened. All of us can experience this by, first of all, purification. We have to purify ourselves. The austerity is required. That austerity becomes pleasure. What seems like great austerity becomes enjoyable in course of time. Bhagavad Gita talks about regulative principles of freedom. We can actually experience the real pleasure of life. So this way Lord Krishna, or Lord Rishabhdev, he instructed his sons. We were speaking about Rishabhdev. He was instructing his sons about what he expected from them. In the same way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established this Krishna Consciousness Mission and asked all of us, take this Krishna conscious message and don't just keep it for ourselves, but distribute it to others also. With faith, faith is certainly required. Without faith, then it will not be very effective. Just like if one has some disease and you go to a doctor, if you don't have much faith in the doctor, even the doctor is very qualified, it's unlikely he'll be able to cure you. But if you have a lot of faith in some doctor, even though he may not be a very great doctor, he may not be very expensive, but if you have a lot of faith in him, he can actually cure disease. This is a common phenomenon nowadays in the modern world. People are finding, you know, so many different types of medicine, but they're finding the people who are the most successful are the ones who are able to inspire their patients with faith, to give them that faith and the will to live. And this is certainly true in Krishna consciousness, that all of us must develop our faith in the Krishna conscious process and in the practice which we perform and in the association of devotees. Sadhu, Shastra and Guru. We have to have faith in these things, faith in the scriptures, faith in the sadhus, the devotees here. You are all sadhus. And faith also in Guru, the spiritual teacher, Srila Prabhupada, who has given us so many instructions and who was very concerned for our welfare. If we have faith in these things, then certainly we will be able to cure ourselves from the disease of material life. Just like in the material world, if one has some disease, we will spend any amount of money to cure our disease. You'll go to the other end of the planet to find that person who can save us from death. So we should understand also in the spiritual sense, the power of great teachers like Srila Prabhupada and how they can deliver us from this material existence. We should therefore take up their teachings with full faith. Won't we pay any amount to a doctor to cure us? If we know we've got some disease and the doctor says you have to stop this, we'll take all their instructions so seriously. Even the chain smoker, the one who's smoking so many cigarettes or drinking or eating so much meat, when he hears he's got some heart condition or cancer or something, immediately they can give up cigarettes. Immediately they're finished with meat. Yeah. Once they know they've got disease and death is threatening, then it becomes there's no doubt, they have to give it up, they'll do it. But because we're thinking, we're here in this material world, and well, it's not so bad, it's not so serious, we don't have to worry so much about becoming Krishna conscious. We have that type of apathy. We think it's not a very urgent situation. But we should understand it is a very urgent situation. The human life is very rare. Every Chanakya Pandit said, you cannot buy back 1 second for any amount of gold. And the Chinese also have a saying like this, they say, that time moves like an arrow, so fast. You don't see the arrow go, you just, you know, it's gone. So time moves like that. They also say that an inch of time is more valuable than an inch of gold. In this way, the great cultures of the world, they're reminding us about the value of time. Don't waste time. 1 second lost can never be bought back for any amount of gold. Therefore, we have to use our time for the most valuable thing. What is the most valuable thing? Is your bank account going to help us at the time of death? In the next life, will it be of some use to us? our big car, our stately home, the family and servants, they're all temporary things. So we have to constantly enlighten ourselves of the temporary nature of the material world. What is important is that we are all sons of Krishna. We have forgotten our eternal relationship, our relationship with Krishna. And the whole purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to bring us back to Krishna, to remember the Father. In this way, Lord Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita and he's telling Arjuna, everyone is my parts and partial. You're all connected to me. If we keep this consciousness, seeing Krishna everywhere and remembering our relationship with Krishna, then human life becomes worthwhile. So we will stop here. Thank you very much for your time. We'll ask, however, if anyone has any questions. Maybe we have some nice atheistic challenges or something. We have some big atheists here, like to lift some big rocks. You can ask some question. Here's one question. Do the living entities in Goloka have the Paramatma residing in them? So, no. Paramatma is only here in the material world. The purpose of Paramatma is to guide us in the material world. But once we go to Goloka, we have a pure spiritual body. So there's no need of Paramatma in the spiritual world. Paramatma is only here in this material world. Once we leave this material world, then what happens to Paramatma? Well, Paramatma is Shirodakshaya Vishnu. So he goes back to the milk ocean, Svetadvip. And he's there. Another question. Maha Mantra has Krishna and Ram. Which direct our mind? Which divert our mind between the two while chanting? Not able to. Maha Mantra has Krishna and Ram. Direct our mind between two while chanting. Okay. Maybe I have to think about that. Try to translate it first. Why have we come from the spiritual world to this material world? Why did we come? That is a great mistake. Why did we come from this spiritual world to this world? Well, that is the power of Maya, illusion. Krishna gives free will, independence. He's not forcing us to stay with him. At any time, if we want to leave the spiritual world, we have free will, and we immediately can fall into this material world. Why would we want to do that? Because we are envious of Krishna. We have thought that it would be nicer to be Krishna rather than to be the servant of Krishna. If we come in this material world, then we can be Krishna. We can be the enjoyer. We can be the supreme. We don't need to serve. We are thinking. Therefore, we come in this world and we attempt to enjoy independently of Krishna. That is not our nature. To give an example, just like if you take a fish out of water and you put a fish in the air-conditioned room and you bring it nice cigarettes and drink, will he be very happy? You know? That's not the nature of the fish. You can understand, you know, the fish is thinking, please put me back in the sea. In the same way, we come in this material world and we get cigarettes and drink and we're thinking, oh great. You know, if we're really covered, we're thinking, but you know, if we're a little more enlightened, we think, please take me out of this place. So the mission of life is to get out from this material world. It's not an easy thing. Just like if you go in a prison, I don't know what the prisons are like here, but in some countries, like in America, the devotees even go into prisons to preach. So one devotee was describing how he went into a prison. He said it was just amazing the security measures which they had to get into the prison. He said just to get in to visit the prisoners, they had incredible security measures. What to speak of getting out? So material world is like that. It's like a prison. It's not easy to get out of this place. Once we come in here, it's a real endeavor to find our way out. But this is the right place. This planet is the place to get out. This is the ideal place. Therefore, all the residents of the higher planets, they want to come down to this planet, especially in Bharatvarsh, because in this place, this is the ideal situation for practicing devotional service and giving up all attachments to material enjoyment and dedicating ourselves to the service of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here's another question. Since the spiritual world has also men and women, is there any attraction between them in the spiritual world? In the spiritual world, the Supreme Man is Krishna, and all others are attracted to Krishna because we are all the prakriti. Right? We're all Krishna's energy, we're all prakriti. Krishna's the supreme purush, the supreme male, and everyone is attracted to him. Yeah. So there is attraction between men and women. That everyone's attracted to Krishna. Krishna's the supreme man, and we are all feminine in relation to him. That is the real sex attraction. If time is so important, then why we all wait for death to come? Why not become spiritual soon and go back to Godhead by ending life sooner? That is the process of Krishna consciousness, becoming spiritual. How to become spiritual? The only way you can become spiritual is by engaging in the service of the Supreme Spirit. You don't become spiritual any other way. The example is you take the iron bar and put it in a fire. And then the iron rod takes on all the qualities of the fire. In the same way, our spiritual nature is purified by association with Krishna, connecting with Krishna's service. So this is your point is very true, that we should all become spiritual and get out of this material world. But my point is that we become spiritual by being a devotee of Krishna. There's no other way in which you will become spiritual. Chanting Hare Krishna, reading Bhagavad Gita, eating Krishna Prasadam, these are not material activities, these are all spiritual activities. Another question, when we worship Guru or Tulsi, why do we have to close the altar? Will Krishna not be pleased if Guru and Tulsi are worshipped? The point is that Guru and Tulsi both want to serve Krishna, that they are representing Krishna. Therefore, they are not worshipped directly in front of Krishna. In the presence of Krishna, the worship should be given to Krishna. We please Krishna not only by serving Guru and Tulsi. Certainly, it's pleasing to Krishna by worshipping Guru and Tulsi, but it's not that we do it directly in front of Krishna. That would be an offense. That's not the proper etiquette. To worship, we should worship the superior person in the presence. And in their presence, the superior most present person should be worshipped, not that some lesser person should be worshipped. If we worship Guru and Krishna in the presence of Krishna, then we will think there is equal to Krishna. They are the same as Krishna. But there's a difference. They are representative of Krishna. Not directly equal to Krishna, not Krishna, but servants of Krishna. And in the presence of Krishna, the worship should be given to Krishna, Supreme Person. Another question. The Christian religion does not believe in soul in the body. So why Christians take the body to the church before burial? Any reason behind this? Well, some Christians do believe in a soul, but they have the idea that some people, some Christians, they believe that the soul is only in the human form of life and not in other forms of life. And sometimes also their concept of the soul is that you will only take one birth and there's only one judgment. No, and you either go to heaven or hell, right? And no appeal. That is their concept. You can challenge this argument that if it's like that, then where is the mercy? There's no concept of mercy in God. There's no hope of ever redeeming yourself. You'll find the Christians speak about eternal damnation. That you go to hell, you stay there forever. You can never get out. So then where is the mercy of God? That if you have only one life and you have no appeal, no chance of, no hope of ever getting out in the next lifetime, then it means there's no mercy. There's no opportunity for the reformation of the living entities. So that type of philosophy indicates a very harsh kind of God. But he asks, why take the body to the church before burial? Any reason behind this? I don't know. I'm not a Christian. Ask some Christian, you know. What form a living entity takes when they come to the material world first time? That's interesting. Sometimes some people say that when we first come into this material world, it is said that we come as Brahma. The first birth we take in this world can be as Brahma. Brahma is the most pious living entity. So taking birth as Brahma, you know, you have the opportunity to either go back to Godhead, or else you become infatuated by the heavenly planets and you take some other birth there in the heavenly planets, and gradually you exhaust your activities and can fall back down into lower species of life. We saw Jai and Vijay, when they fell from the spiritual world, their first birth was in the, as the demonic sons of Diti, Haranyaksha and Haranyakashipu. So they took birth anyway in these higher planets in a very strong, powerful form, but it was a demonic body. If the Krishna consciousness, what is that? Is the Krishna consciousness same as in the different demigod planets as it is here in Kali Yuga? No, the demigod planets are not the same as here in Kali Yuga. Therefore it said the demigods, they want to come and take birth here on this planet. This is the ideal place in the best time in the Kali Yuga. So therefore even the demigods, they want to come and take a birth here. The demigods and the higher planets, it's explained how they're simply exhausting their karma. They got to the heavenly planets by their punya karma, but they cannot accumulate more punya karma there. They can only use up their pious credits. And as they exhaust their pious credits, then they have to fall back down. Not easy for them to liberate themselves from that place. But This world, this is the world of karma. We can act either in pious ways or in sinful ways. We have free will. We have our choice. If we act in the pious, we can get pious credits, or we can act in sinful ways and degrade ourselves. But we also have the opportunity to act as a devotee and to transcend both sinful and pious activities, to transcend the laws of karma, acting as a devotee. That is the power of devotional service. Devotional service burns up all the past activities. So that devotional service, Navalakshana Bhakti, hearing and chanting and remembering, these activities, these are very powerful. And on this planet, there's great opportunity for people to learn how to perform devotional service through the Krishna consciousness movement. And especially important in the Kali Yuga, of course, is the chanting of the holy names. For the demigods, yeah, they can also chant the holy names, but it's not so easy. There's too much opportunity to enjoy sense pleasure, the attraction, the long life, the health, the opulence of the heavenly planets. It's overwhelming even for them. Therefore, they see this place, this planet, as being the ideal situation. All facts and figures, material life and spiritual life, are spoken by all religious associations. Everyone, every association recognizes one God. So who is that one God? Krishna, Allah, or Jesus Christ? Who is the one God? Yeah, there is one God. Jesus Christ never says he is Son of God. He says, worship my Father. So we just read today, Krishna says, Aham Bija Pradapita. Krishna's the Father. You see, Krishna's the Father of Christ. Christ says, worship my Father. So who is the Father? Krishna. Krishna says, I am the Father. You see? Allah means, what is the meaning of Allah?
All powerful.
All powerful. Yeah, all powerful. So who is the all powerful? Yeah, Krishna's all powerful. There's no contradiction. God has many names. But the perfect name is Krishna, Govinda. He has many different names. He's known by his qualities. But there's only one supreme being, one supreme God, and everything comes from him. There's no contradiction. There are different civilizations, different cultures. Therefore, you have different types of religion. But ultimately, they recognize that there's one supreme God. Is killing animals for eating sin? Isn't killing plants for food considered sinful? Do you kill people? Do you eat human beings? If there's human flesh there somewhere, are you going to take some? Why not? Because people are different from animals, right? Human beings, people are different from the animals. You may eat meat, animal meat, but you'll think twice before you go to eat human meat. In the same way, animals are different from plants. Killing plants is not the same as killing animals. We don't need slaughterhouses to kill the plants. We don't get a lot of blood when we kill the plants. There is some sin in killing plants, but it's not as great as a sin in killing animals. Whatever sin is there in killing plants, that can be removed by offering to Krishna. We're not simply vegetarian, we are Krishnatarian. Food of, and Krishna is a vegetarian, so we offer vegetarian foods to Krishna. If you offer some meat, Krishna won't accept. He's a vegetarian. So we keep company with Krishna. And there's no sin in offering vegetables to Krishna. So I think that's all the questions I can read. Okay, so thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare.